Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word is truth. Your word guides us and directs us and helps us. We are weak, but you are strong. We are needy, and you are the provider. Lord, we oftentimes look at this world and we wonder, where is the love? Where is the compassion? And Lord, oh God, you are that compassion. You are that love. You are the one who is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Oh God, I just pray that this morning, that this text would speak so deeply to us and that we would apply it to our lives. That there would not be a single soul sitting here listening online that would just somehow listen to this and walk away unchanged. But Lord, that we would apply this to our lives immediately. Please, oh God, by your Spirit, may you do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever had your glasses get foggy, especially in the wintertime, and you're walking in? Happens all the time, and even under the mask, it just kind of goes up, and you're just speaking to somebody, and it's like you're trying to focus, and you're getting distracted. You walk into a store from the cold outdoors, and it's really hard to see, and you don't want to bump into things, and for those of you who don't have glasses, you don't have that privilege of experiencing that. Or how about an impossible to clean streak across the windshield, and you're just trying to wipe it while you're driving down the 401, and it's like snowy, and it's just annoying, right? And it's just a distraction. You see, many things in life can annoy us and distract us. And in similar way, we may feel at times our spiritual life can be distracted. We have so many things that are going on in our lives. We feel unfocused, and we feel sometimes life is exhausting. We try to focus our attention on God. We try to read His Word. We try to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. But something comes along the way, something more enticing, something more alluring, something more exciting, something more important than Jesus. You speak frankly, I mean, many times I don't even realize how many things distract me. Sometimes we try to focus on reading the Bible and we get distracted with email, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media and TikTok and all the things that entertain us and grab our attention and we forget why we exist on this earth. Even sometimes ministry can be a distraction, serving other people, doing a lot of things, going and dropping off groceries, helping your mom and dad and grandparents, feeding the kids, taking care of everything in the church. Sometimes when we minister, that can also be a distraction as well. We try too much and try to accomplish our own goals and plans rather than asking God which ones are the most important. You see, we get distracted when the temporary things of the world get in the way, and even some of the important things in the world get in the way of what is most important in our lives. And this morning, I want to share with you a story from the Bible that teaches us about distraction and devotion. a story about two women who loved Jesus, and yet only one of them knew what was most important. A story about learning to turn away from a distracted life to a focused life, listening to and cherishing Jesus. Maybe you feel distracted this morning. That's okay, because this passage is for you. It's for me. Maybe you're feeling anxious this morning. That's okay. This passage is for you. It's for me. The story begins as Jesus enters into the village called Bethany, 2 miles east of Jerusalem, as recorded in John 11, verse 1. And a woman named Martha welcomes him in. This is the home of Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. Later on, we hear that their brother Lazarus dies, and Jesus raises him from the dead. The family was no doubt close to Jesus. They were friends of Jesus. And Jesus loved them. However, there could be no greater difference in personality than these two sisters. There were complete opposites. Martha was a taskmaster, a multitasker. Mary was a learner and contemplative. They probably got on each other's nerves. And as we look into the lives of these two women in this story, you can ask yourself this question: am I a Martha or am I a Mary? Or maybe I'm a combination of the both. And as we go through this story, I want to give you 8 simple observations about Mary and Martha and Jesus. And I know we don't have the screens today. That's okay. The Lord provided in his way for us the Bible so we can actually read it and look at it and learn from it. And sometimes we don't necessarily need the screens. So today, I just want to tell you there's a difference between expositional preaching and textual preaching and topical preaching. And maybe what you're used to is just the 3-point sermon and the description of those points based on the big idea of the passage. But today, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to walk through verse by verse and make observations so that it can build on one another and provide application to your lives. It's called textual preaching, and John MacArthur does a lot of that. He just goes through verse by verse. So the first observation is this. Martha loved to serve. Martha loved to serve. Look at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. You see, she welcomed Jesus into the home. This text shows that she was probably the first person that Jesus saw when he entered the home. She showed hospitality. Her whole heart was to serve. And that was wonderful. She loved to make people feel welcome, to make them feel at home, and to serve them. Martha was a wonderful woman. This was a woman who cared about people's physical needs. As we see later in the story, she was so busy with so many things. She probably took care of the shopping, cleaning, cooking, baking, decorating, and all the home preparations for Jesus' arrival. She was busy. And she had a heart of a servant, willing to take care of all the needs of her guests. You see, the text doesn't say, but most likely Jesus did not come alone. He also probably had other guests, other people around him, disciples, so that she had a lot to take care of. She loved to serve. First observation. Second observation. Mary loved to listen. She loved to listen. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Mary was a learner, one who probably loved to study when she was younger. She probably loved to do, abacus for fun, read the dictionary in her spare time. She probably played Sudoku or read 2 books a day, that kind of thing. I mean, this is my guess. She loved to listen and learn, and there are many people who are like that. Usually in those days, women were not allowed to sit down at the feet of their teacher, but as you can imagine, Mary was so eager to learn that she was right there in the front of the classroom. She wanted to learn from Jesus because she wanted to learn from the greatest teacher in history. The third observation is this: Martha was distracted with details. Verse 40, in the first part, Martha was distracted with much serving. Serving, when you serve somebody, it requires a lot of details. You have to learn how to address their needs. You want to know what's best for them. And her serving required a lot of thinking. The text says that she was distracted with much serving. The Greek word here, distracted, means extremely busy, overburdened, basically many things, but little time to do it. Why was she so distracted? It was because she was preoccupied with taking care of things around the house and things that would provide comfort for the guests rather than listening to and learning from Jesus. She wanted things to be perfect, but failed to listen and spend time with the perfect one. In the verse before, Mary and probably others who were with her sat down and listened to Jesus, putting aside all distractions and gave Jesus their undivided attention. They knew things needed to be done, and they probably could have been done later, but their first priority was to spend it with Jesus, and Mary spent that time with Christ. So Martha was distracted with details, with serving. And point number four, or observation number four, is this: Mary was focused on Jesus. Back to verse 39. Verse 39 says this: "And she had a sister named called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." The text says she listened to Jesus. She paid attention to his words. Think about it for a moment. If there was one thing that you want to do when Jesus comes and visits you, what would it be, right? If Jesus sat in your living room, the one who created all things, who controls all things, who knows all things, who makes food, who serves thousands of people, who heals the sick, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and who provides salvation for your soul, what would you want to do at that moment when he's sitting across the room from you? If he was coming, would you want to listen to his words, his teaching, what he'd had to say? You see, Jesus is the Son of God, the one who made the stars and the heavens and knows our hearts and our thoughts. You see, Mary was focused on Jesus because she knew he was the Messiah. Scripture tells us that those who listen to Jesus' words, keep it, and act upon it are truly his disciples. Luke records this: "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them is like a man who builds his house on a rock. Those who hear God's word and hold fast to it is like the seed that fell on good soil, and that seed grew up and bore much fruit." Mary's focus on Jesus' teaching meant that it was important. It was so important to her. It was worth more than all the other things that needed to get done. Spending time with Jesus was the first thing she thought of when he came into her home. Amongst all the busyness and everything. Fifth observation is this: Martha was emotionally and overwhelmed with her responsibilities. Look down with me in verse 40. "But Martha was distracted with much serving," and this is the second part, "and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me.'" She went up to Jesus and said those words. "I don't know if I could, but in a moment of stress and anxiety, I might." She was so stressed with what she had to do, she went to Jesus and then interrupted him and said, "Do you not care?" Accusing Jesus Christ of not caring. When things get overwhelming, we start to blame others. We start to blame others that aren't at fault. You see, Martha became resentful and upset towards Mary. And she was visibly upset at Jesus as well. Kind of adding to the list and saying, this person is like this. And then that person is not telling this person what not to do or what to do. Martha was probably thinking in her mind, no one ever helps me. No one does their part. No one follows through. I can't depend on anyone. I'm the only one serving. I'm the only one doing this. Many of us have had Martha moments. You feel self-righteous and judgmental. Let's say it as it is. We feel like, hey, we're better. We've done it. We are in the situation. We're the ones sacrificing. We are the ones doing it. And brothers and sisters, maybe you feel that very same way, especially during Christmas time when, everyone has their responsibilities. Some are carrying more, some are carrying less, and there's this comparison going on. And maybe the Lord wants to speak to you through this. Because, you see, Martha had that self-righteous, judgmental, and holier-than-thou-art kind of attitude because, you see, she was the one that was meeting needs. Or so she thought. You work hard to meet them. And that's what she's thinking. You see, in this story, Martha didn't need to serve Jesus. Martha needed to be served by Jesus. Martha needed to be served by Christ in his words and the very living truth that he was going to speak into her life. The very essence of the very pure love of God through Christ spoken to her, and she needed to listen to him, but she missed it because she was too busy. You see, your identity as a Christian, my mentor once told me when I felt so overwhelmed in ministry and life, and my mentor, Bill Littman, he told me, he's like, I wrote this down, your identity as a Christian is not found in what you do, but rather it is in whom you belong to. Remind yourself that you are a child of the King and that you belong to him. Remind yourself that he loves you and that you are his and that you can listen to him. We have to preach the gospel. We have to preach to ourselves that we need to listen to Christ. We need to be like Mary. We need to be like Mary. The sixth observation is that Mary chose the most important thing, verse 42. But one thing is necessary, Jesus says. One thing that is necessary. Mary chose the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus didn't go and burst into the kitchen and say, stop what you're doing, come over here and listen to me. He didn't say, your serving is totally frivolous and unimportant, and why are you serving me? No. There are things in this world that you do and that you participate that are important to the glory of God and for his kingdom, but it doesn't mean that's the most important thing. One thing is necessary, of most importance, of the most importance to the essence of your life, and that is what Mary has chosen, the good portion. I'm going to walk through this a little bit with you. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and didn't say a word. Her priorities were right. She chose that which was best and necessary in life. She chose the good portion because she knew the only thing that really mattered at that time was spending time with Christ. Jesus said it right. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary chose to be filled with Christ's words. Mary chose to be served by Christ, Christ serving her, rather than to be worried about serving Jesus. I think it's so important for us to know this. Have you been served by Christ this week? Have you heard his voice through his word? Have you sought him and asked him, as it says in Matthew, to ask him anything in prayer? Not in demanding, but in just saying, Lord, I want to listen to you and what you have to tell me, because that is life. That is necessary. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, we need to proclaim the truth that God is our strength and our portion forever. That is a beautiful truth, and it is a dynamic truth. Because you cannot claim God to be your portion unless you truly believe that he is your satisfaction. You can't just say, oh, he's my portion, he's there, he's very there, but he's not what I want. We have to want Jesus. You know, that's why God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. We are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified because it ends up being about him. It ends up being about what he wants to say to us. It ends up being about being worshipers of Christ and living for his glory. So that the priorities in life and the things that are less important may be put in order for the praise of his glory. Psalm 119, verse 57 says, the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I love this verse because it says, the Lord is my portion. He is my satisfaction. He is the one whom I desire. He is the one that is enough for me. He's sufficient for me. So I promise to keep his words. His word is that which gives me a true understanding of who he is. And so I keep his words. Mary chose the most important thing, verse 42. And then the seventh point is this, observation is this, Jesus cared about Martha and taught her. Notice what it says there, verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Wow. In the midst of a troubled heart, in the midst of an anxious heart, Jesus comes to her, does not judge her, does not say, hey, you got your priorities wrong. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You see, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled. He did not say, Martha, Martha, you're distracted and you're getting your priorities wrong. He went from making an observation about what was happening in the home, you're distracted, and then spoke to her directly and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled, because he knew her heart. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus' correction. Christ's correction in your life comes very personally. And if you listen carefully to his word and you listen carefully to what God is trying to tell you through his word, as you read his word daily, he will speak to you and he will show you by the power of his spirit. Many times he said to me through the word and just reminded me, Andrew, you've been anxious. You've been anxious, you've been worried, you've been concerned. Do you not know that I hold the stars in my hand, that I own a cattle on 1,000 hills? You know, do you not know that I am God and I have control over all things, and the process of your life right now is for the purpose of my glory and for your good? That is what I need to remind myself of. And then all of a sudden, I don't feel as anxious. Thank God. So Martha, Martha, you were anxious and troubled about many things. Not just one thing, not just two things, not a few things, but many, many things. And so this is the challenge that Martha has, and that is to listen to Jesus. And now, you know, you can kind of sense that, like, the story now turns towards Martha, and now she's being served by Jesus because Jesus gently corrects her. You see, Martha, Martha is a term of endearment. Jesus extended understanding, extended grace and mercy, lovingly spoke to her, not judgmental or burdensome. The worst thing a person who is stressed needs is another person yelling at them to say, stop being worried and stressed. You see, Jesus says, I know you are stressed and worried. I know how you feel. Jesus does not correct even though she was wrong to challenge him. He told her the truth, and he said two things. You are anxious. You are anxious and worried and concerned of all the cares of the house. You are feeling very stressed. You're very worried that all the things that you have on your to-do list aren't getting accomplished. You are troubled. He states that the truth that she is upset and troubled that her sister isn't helping her, and that there are so many things to do. She's probably also troubled and upset at Jesus for not telling Mary to help her. Jesus knew what was in her heart. Jesus cared. He cares for all of us, even at our darkest and most frustrated moments, calling us to come back to him. You see, Jesus basically says to Martha, you were trying to give me the good portion of the meal, the best of the best of your preparations, but Mary chose the good portion. I am good to her. I am her good portion, and I will be yours if you listen to my words and seek me first. Before I go on, actually, I'm a little distracted myself right now. I need to focus on the word, but my nose is running. Does anyone have a tissue that I could use? Sorry, in the middle of a sermon. I usually have tissue with me, but I don't have a cold or anything like that. It just, I end up doing this every time I preach. Is this? I have a thank you. Thanks so much. Sorry. Speaking of distractions, my nose and everything. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Anyways, let's get back into the text, and thank you for being patient with me in that. Where was I? Yeah. Mary chose the good portion. She says, you are anxious and you are worried about a lot of things. And I think a lot of times we find that when we are anxious and we're worried, we have tunnel vision. We have this desire to do what is good and what is right in God's eyes, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, you know, you feel alone, and maybe you feel alone even in your anxiety and in your just in feeling troubled in your heart. But Jesus can speak to that, and he loves you. And he knows the trouble and the anxiety of your heart. He knows the trouble and anxiety of your heart. He knows that you need him. He knows that you need refreshment. He knows that you need his word. And so he speaks to you and he shows you that there's only one thing necessary, and that necessary thing is to be at his feet, to listen to him, and to hear his voice. Finally, Jesus reminded, this is the eighth observation, Jesus reminded both Mary and Martha that his words will last forever. Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. The words of Jesus will never be taken away from you. The words of this Bible soaked into your heart will never be taken away from you. The times in which you spend with God and you know that it's His truth and you want to follow Him, the times of worship and singing praise to Him because you know who He is and He's talked to you and He's spoken to you through His word, it will not be taken away from you. Because Mary has chosen the good portion. What a beautiful picture. Jesus shows both women that the very words He speaks will last with them forever. Particularly, He says that the things that Mary has learned from Him will not be taken away. There can be nothing of greater value than wholehearted devotion and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot settle for anything less. We cannot be satisfied with anything less than pure and wholehearted devotion to Christ through listening to His word, learning from Him, and truly knowing Him. This is the portion that will never be removed from Mary, and for that matter, from anyone who copies her example. John 8, verse 31 to 32 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, we live in a Martha world. So often we get caught up with do, go, 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 the Christmas hype, and everything has to happen a certain way. And we completely forget to rest in Christ this time of year. We forget once again that there's so many people out there that are not atheists. I mean, the majority of people are not atheists. They want to know about God. They want to know about Jesus. They want to know about the true Christ. But maybe they won't say it. Is your heart so filled with Jesus in a do, go, go, go kind of society that you have time to sit with your friend over coffee and tell him or her about Christ and how Jesus has changed and transformed you and given you hope? That how Jesus is the reason for the season and that He was born for you and for me. You see, Jesus understands that many of us are Marthas. He says to us, hey, Martha, I know you are burdened with many things and you have a million things to do. You're not going to get them all done. So how about you start with this? Spend some time with me. See, what it means to be a disciple is simple. Spending time with Christ means listen to His word, study His word, read the Gospels. Let this story soak into your heart so that you can become more like Mary. And the second part of the story is really that, you know, there is an aspect of serving here that's important. But that comes after. That comes as a result of spending time with Christ. Don't flip it around. And so it's important to have the heart of Mary in the hands of Martha. It's important to have a synergism in this. It's important to know that Christ calls you not just to listen to His word and listen to what He has to say and learn from Him, but to grow in that affection, but to let that affection and let that growth and let that knowledge and let the very thing that you are in your relationship with God be poured out in service towards others. We need to be like Mary in our hearts and have the hands of Martha. The main lesson of this story is that Mary's worship of Jesus must come first, and after that, Martha's work may be completed. Worship God before you work so that you can worship God in and through your work and your serving. As Christians, we want Mary's heart, and we want Martha's hands, her servanthood. We want to serve the Lord, but the first thing is we have to worship Him and adore Him, cherishing His gospel. So, God knows your anxieties and troubles. He sees them. And He is so compassionate to you, so gracious to you, that He would say, come spend some time with me. That is the grace of God. So, church, be served by the living Lord. And be energized by that so that we can serve. this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your everlasting truth, the truth that no one can take away the words that Jesus said to Mary and that Jesus says to us. No one can take that away. It is with us forever if we receive it and openly believe and trust in you. So, Lord, I just thank you. I pray, Lord, that Hope Toronto West would continue to be encouraged by what is happening, by the Lord, that you are in control, that even in the midst of a world that is very confused and very challenging at this time and may be very anxious and fearful, that you are near. And Lord, I just thank you for this. I pray, oh God, once again, we would be satisfied for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.